This is the world's greatest Springsteen podcast. It's episode 26. We are into the second quarter, as they say. I said that this show would live up to its name by the 100th episode, and we're starting the second quarter, and I think we've done it. I think we've lived up to our name. So this is episode 26. I am the fisherman, the bootlegger who pays the highest price, and with me always is Tom. How are you, Tom?
Doing pretty good. How you doing?
I am on top of the world. Yesterday, we got a major announcement, and I just want to play a clip from this show on October 18th, just two months ago, and then I'll tell you the announcement. March 19th, let me go ahead and actually put this up on the screen.
There is a lot of space there, and there's a lot of really sweet geography in there that this could happen. So,
right, there's 6 days. That first show back is Phoenix on March 19th, but then the next show is San Diego, and it's not until March 25th. That is six nights. That's five nights off. And I don't know if there's going to be five nights off, because what they could do is have two nights off and then play on the 22nd and then still have two nights off and then play on the 25th in San Diego. So where, if you're in Phoenix and you're going to San Diego, where do you play on the 22nd? And I'm thinking it's got to be Vegas. I think that there's a chance he could play T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas on March 22nd.
And when I look up those dates and everything makes sense, Aaron, it's going to happen.
We should start a hashtag Springsteen Vegas March 22. All right. So that was October 18th. Yesterday, December 7th, 8th, I don't know, 2 months later. It's 2 months later. And the big announcement came. This thing behind me would say it if I knew how to crop pictures properly for Zoom. But Las Vegas, March 22nd, 2024, as predicted right here on the world's greatest Springsteen podcast 2 months ago with no insider information, nothing. I just know. Are you coming to Vegas, Tom?
Man, I looked at flights yesterday, and they were pretty expensive. It's pretty far.
Just keep watching them. I did Tampa to Vegas round trip the other way, Vegas to Tampa round trip for $170. Keep watching them. They fluctuate.
Yeah, they had it for around $400, I think.
I believe I flew Spirit. It might have been Frontier, but during that month of shows, I flew Spirit, Frontier, and Southwest, but Southwest, I believe, was Houston. So it was either Spirit or Frontier, and most of my trips were Spirit, and I think Tampa was Spirit. And just keep watching them. I'm going to keep watching them. You ever been to Vegas?
No.
Well, you got to come to Vegas. You should come out to Vegas. I know if Maddie can get his passport thing worked out, he's having passport issues, he wants to come to Vegas, and his buddy is the coach of the Golden Knights, and there's a game the night before the Springsteen show, so hopefully he'll get to come out and we'll go to the Golden Knights game and we'll go to the Springsteen show. You got to make it out here for that. Everybody needs to come out to Las Vegas March 22nd, as predicted here 2 months ago. T-Mobile Arena. I had the city, the date, and the venue nailed them all. All right. I'm sure I won't bring that up 50,000 years.
Is this going to affect the other shows you were planning on going to?
It might, because I was supposed to go to Phoenix. My brother lives in Phoenix. I've not seen his house. I've not seen his kids. He's been to Vegas a couple times in recent years, but I haven't seen his kids in years, and I've never seen his house. He's got a gorgeous house in Phoenix, and he wants to go to the show. He's not dying. He's going to the show. If I don't go, If I don't go to Phoenix, he won't go to the show. He's going to go because I'm coming to town. He'll go with me. And I was going to go there for the one night and spend the night at his house and go to the show and fly back the next day. And I could still do that. But suddenly, it sounds like a lot of work. And when there's going to be a show 3 days later. But it's the first day back. It's really inexpensive. I could probably still do that. L.A. has always been iffy. I was thinking about doing Phoenix and then L.A., but they were real close to each other, and it was always real iffy. On the reschedules, they're almost a month apart. So it's still iffy, but it's a better iffy. It's a better – I could still go maybe do one of the L.A.s. I can't do L.A. with two nights in between off. I can't be in L.A. for four nights to see two shows. But the second show of a two-night stand – I would like to see the second show of a two-night stand sometimes. They're usually quite awesome.
So, and when do they go on sale, and how are you going to work the buying of the ticket?
For Vegas? Because Phoenix and LA have been on sale forever. They were rescheduled. They were sold last year, whatever. The Vegas ticket goes on sale, I believe, on the 14th. It might be the 11th, but I believe it's the 14th. Don't go by the World's Greatest Springsteen Podcast. If you want to buy tickets, please look it up yourself and don't go, Aaron said the 14th, because it might be the 11th, but I think it's the 14th. And I'm not even going to try. I'm not even going to try. What am I going to buy? I'm not going to buy a $500 ticket, and I'm not going to buy a pit ticket. So I think I'm just going to hold out. I'll look if there's a great side stage lower bowl that's not dynamically priced, but it's not, even though those really good seats are $399 at the arenas, you know, plus fees. So no, I'm not shelling out $500. I envision myself ending up with a backstage like I did for I was side stage for 3 out of 4 and totally rear stage for 1 of 4. I gave up my best ticket. That was the show I didn't go to, Portland. I gave that up, and I would love to duplicate that, but I lost my ass on it. It was a hugely expensive ticket I couldn't afford, and I only got half back when I ended up not being able to go. So, no, I think I'll do it the way I did all those other shows. I will sit with what I find for around $100 come the week of the show. I'll look. I'll see what I can score. I'm not going to spend more than $100. You know that Fish is about to hit my credit card for the Sphere. Maybe if I'm lucky enough, if I get picked, you had to give them your credit card number in advance, tell them how many tickets you'd like to buy. And then if you're selected to buy them, they just charge you automatically. So I had to commit to $600 a week ago, and it's not going to come out till next week. And my bank account's not looking as good as it was when I wrote that, when I agreed to that. I'm kind of almost thinking, I hope that I don't get picked, but then that I'm not worried about getting into Bruce at T-Mobile. I'll get in. I'll sit rear stage if I have to, but I'll get in. I am worried about getting into Fish at the Sphere. People are coming in for that, and they're going to be going to all four nights, and they're selling all four night packages. And a lot of people are buying those, and they're going to all four nights. So I don't know. I usually get in.
Think Bruce will add a second night?
No, he can't. There's two nights off. That's how I knew the 22nd, man. The 19th in Phoenix, the 22nd in Vegas, the 25th in San Diego. There was no reason for him to take five nights off, but he's not going to do two nights in a row. So no, this is it. It's a one night only in Vegas. It's a Friday night. There's a Golden Knights game the night before. Come on out. And it's going to be one of the most Vegas has gotten crazy expensive. We used to be a value destination. Not anymore. We've become this crazy price destination. And this weekend is no exception. And it's not even affected by the Springsteen show. It's March Madness. And the town is priced up. All prices are high, but start looking for a deal. I'll give you the list of hotels that are walking distance from T-Mobile Arena. And You don't want, you're not going to want to miss this, man. T-Mobile Arena is right there behind New York, New York. It's going to be, he hasn't played here in 22 years. It's going to be a blast. I went to four shows. I think this one could be the coolest of the, you know, destinations that I went to. And yeah. I live here.
Okay. All right.
So you know what else? Yesterday was yesterday. Just yesterday, they announced that show. I'm like way up here on a cloud, both about a show coming to my hometown and just about nailing it. 19. I can bring it up 19 more times. Also yesterday, out of the blue, they dropped a new archive release. They didn't call it the Christmas release, and it was the second Friday, but and usually the Christmas release comes closer to Christmas, but I'm thinking this is the Christmas release. They didn't say it one way or the other, but they dropped Philly, October 14, 2009, I think is the date going by my memory. October 14th, right?
I don't have it written down. I know you told me about it.
I'm pretty sure it's October 14, 2009. And I believe that it completes the album shows represented in 2009. We've had the Wild and the Innocent and the River show from Madison Square Garden for a long time. We've had the Darkness on Greetings from Asbury Park show from Buffalo for a very long time. And those three were all one-offs. They only played those albums once. And then Born to Run and Born in the USA were both played several times, and we've got one of each. Cleveland for Born to Run, and I can't even remember what city was Born in the USA. They finally, Darkness seemed to be the one that was missing, and there was, I think, only two shows that were Darkness shows, and one of them was this show, and we're kind of familiar with this show recently because not long ago, like a month and a half ago, I dubbed the video of this show with a higher quality audio source than it's ever had before. Although I'm going to do the same thing again this weekend with the new audio source. But we watched it on my channel. If you've never come by my channel, every Saturday night and sometimes on weeknights too, we stream a live Springsteen concert bootleg with the best possible audio available. And we chat in the chat box about the show, and come on by. That's really where this podcast was born out of. I think next Saturday we'll be watching this show with the best audio it's ever had, even though we just watched it. And yeah, it's a great show. You got the set list in front of you?
No, but I listened to it. I didn't listen to all of it yesterday, the new audio, but I listened to probably 5 songs. And I'm going to listen to the rest today, but sounds excellent. And we did just watch it on your channel. And it was a great show, but now we've got this pro audio, but yeah, it's going to be great. I can't wait for you to redub it.
I am going to work on that this weekend and hope to be showing it on my channel next Saturday. Tonight, I'm showing a request that you requested. I know that by the time this podcast gets out, that the night will have passed. Short one tonight. You asked for the Sony Studios 1995, 97, somewhere in there. The reunion from the greatest hit sessions from Sony Studios Pro Shot. We're going to watch that tonight. It's only 90 minutes, so make some plans. We usually watch a 3.5-hour show on a Saturday night, but we're going to play a short one tonight. High quality, short running time. Don't know if that'll still be up on my channel for listeners who are listening to this podcast and going, boy, I'd like to hear that. But show up next Saturday. We will watch Philly 10/14/2009. Now it's going to have the best sound that is absolutely ever have. I'm really looking forward to it. So I don't have the set list in front of me either. Aside from the Darkness album, there was a couple of pretty cool tracks on there that I can't remember right offhand what they were.
Yeah. And of course, you know, he plays a few from the new album, and they actually, the first one I heard, it was like the third or fourth track in. What the hell was that song? What is the album? I don't even know. Is it Wrecking Ball?
No, I was working on a dream. And it was the end of the Working on a Dream tour, and he had dropped most of the album from the show, but he still did Working on a Dream. The shtick about building a house and making some noise became much shorter and more concise. And I think he did Working on a Dream right before they would do the album. And it had Every Night had a Hungry Heart with a what do you call it? I was gonna say stage dive, but it's a crowd surf. And I can't really think there's like three songs from Working on a Dream that stuck around once they got into the album shows.
He opens with Thundercrack, which is great.
Does open with Thundercrack, that I recall. All right. So, Vegas. I keep coming back to Vegas. Archive from Philly. And then, Tom, you came with a whole tour schedule. Light of Day is no longer an annual benefit show. It seems to be an annual benefit tour. And Tom's got the dates and some of the lineup.
Yeah, so I guess these shows will be about, we'll start on January 12th and go through the 27th. And they're all in, you know, Jersey, like Asbury Park. And Bruce has supposedly showed up to 12 of these 23 dates, of these 23 shows.
Wait, he's going to show up at 12?
No, he has performed 12 of them.
He's performed 12 Light of Days. Most of those back when it was just one night or two nights at the Stone Pony or one or another. There's been a couple venues.
Tickets range from $59.50 to $425.50.
Does $425 come with some kind of like meet and greet or anything like that backstage, any kind of, you know, meet some of the artists, any particular, anything like that? Does it come with anything?
It better, but it doesn't say. It says prices for other Light of Day shows ranged from free to $30. So the prices have gone up. Thanks, when were they, Biden.
When were they free, and how does that help the people with...
It doesn't go into that.
It's for Parkinson's disease. The Light of Day Foundation and the Light of Day Concerts raise money for the advancement of medical research into Parkinson's disease. And I don't know how free helps them out. Did they maybe just T-shirts?
Hey, I didn't write the article. That's just what it says. But, you know, more than 125 musicians have participated in the past. And of course, you know, Bruce, you never know if Bruce is going to show up to these things. So, but there's plenty of dates. And actually, one of the dates, Friday, January 19th, will be broadcast live by E Street Radio. Sirius XM E Street Radio. So,
well, I think we found the one that Bruce is going to show up at.
Yeah, Jim Rotolo will be hosting that. So it's possible Bruce will show up to that. That night also will be Joe Grushecki. I won't name these other guys because I really don't know them. You may. But some of the other dates, we got Jared Clemens, Max Weinberg, and I just really don't know these other people. it'll be let's see,
give me the dates with the venue.
Okay, I'll start with January 17th. It looks like that's the first show. It will be at City Winery Loft, New York City, 25th of 11th Avenue. Willie Nile, am I pronouncing that right?
That's right. He's been up there on stage with Bruce several times, including the Shea Stadium shows and the Christmas show we're about to talk about. He was out there for that too.
Okay, I really don't recognize these other guys. Paul Collins, I I was hoping it would be Phil Collins, but no.
I don't think he's performing anymore.
So, and then let me see. I'm looking at January 18th. Got Jared Clemens.
Where though? Give me the venue.
Oh, okay. That's the Wonder Bar.
Wonder Bar. All right.
Refer to that. So that's in Asbury Park. Trying to see. Also, yeah, the East Street Radio live broadcast is also at the Wonder Bar on January 19th.
That sounds like the one Bruce is showing up at so far to me.
Yeah. Let me see. Saturday, January 20th. The Beatles Acoustic with Bob Berger. I don't know what that is. I guess that's a Beatles cover band. I don't know what that has to do with Bruce, but although
the Light of Day tour doesn't surround itself in Bruce, although it's named after one of his songs.
Okay. January 21st. It says The Boss, Springsteen on Sunday, live broadcast.
What?
Is that? That must be some kind of radio show. It's called The Boss, in parenthesis, Springsteen on Sunday. So I think it's a radio show that plays Bruce on Sundays.
Is there a venue or a ticket price or anything like that?
It is the Seahorse inside the Grand Arcade on Ocean Avenue, Asbury Park. There's also will be Cover Me with Bob Berger and the Red Shoes, music of Elvis Costello. So, okay. There's also Late for the Sky, the music of Jackson Browne. And then there's some U2 cover band.
Was there a ticket price for that?
Just that range I gave you. So
$59 to $450 for the U2. For the U2 cover band?
Yes. So then there's one that's called Remembering Harry Chapin?
Chapin.
Okay.
You've heard of Harry Chapin?
Yes, I just couldn't pronounce his name.
Okay.
And it looks like it ends with January 27th. Songwriters in the Round with Jared Clemens, James Maddock. I don't know who these people are. That'll be at the Outpost in the Burbs. Fullerton Avenue, Montclair. Is that in Jersey? I don't know.
Montclair is in Jersey, yes.
So we'll see. Hopefully, Bruce will show up.
I'm not sure. That didn't sound like a whole list of like concerts. I thought we were going to be like all bars and artists, but it sounds like Jared Clemens is going to sit down and talk in a round table. Did that say round table? All right, yeah. We're moving on. Not the world's most informative Springsteen podcast. The world's greatest Springsteen podcast.
It might not have been the best advertisement for Parkinson's disease, but hopefully people will show up and buy tickets.
And I don't think the Light of Day Foundation is counting on the world's greatest Springsteen podcast to bring in any ticket buyers. I think they've got their PR handled much better than we have our own. I want to talk about this past Thursday was the 20th anniversary of the famous, it's actually the second night, but it's famous to us because there's a great video of it, but the famous second night 2003 Christmas show in Asbury Park at the convention hall, and loaded with guest stars and loaded with rarities and is Bruce Springsteen with the Max Weinberg Seven backing him, and a ton of guest stars. And it's just one of my favorite shows of all time. And it took place 20 years ago this week. And so we, as I actually show it every year on our live stream, we showed it on the 20th anniversary and got a chance to watch it again. And I know Tom was there for the stream and I was there, and it's fresh in our minds. And there's just so many points of that I want to talk about. We will skip right over the 12 minutes of God. It seems like longer. It might even be shorter, but it goes on a long time. The gospel choir that opens the show with two songs. And I'm not saying they're bad. I'm just like, that's just long. They keep going. I can't imagine being there. I guess with the excitement and anticipation, the time goes by a lot faster than when you're sitting in your living room. But started out with that gospel choir, and I won't say anything negative, except it goes on a really long time.
Yeah, it was pretty painful, but it finally ended. It would have been a good time if you're there, I suppose, to just use the bathroom or go get a beer or whatever you do.
It was the beginning. Hopefully you prepared yourself with a bathroom trip and grabbed your beer just before they came out. And then it seemed like 25 minutes of the scene from the Blues Brothers with James Brown?
Yeah.
It really sounded like that 2-minute scene going on for like 20 minutes. All right. And then they said, buy our CD. Did you buy the CD?
No. I would definitely be skipping quite a few songs in this, but then there's some really good ones in there, you know. And there's, like you said, the guests. I mean, we got Max Weinberg, Steve Van Zandt, Niels Lofgren.
I loved all the guest stuff. It started out, Jimmy Vivino played a Christmas song, a famous Christmas song that I don't know because I'm not a big Christmas song guy. I got a pocket full of money. Got my baby by my side. You know, I'm so glad. So glad to be alive. You know, I feel okay on this Christmas day. Steve came out. My favorite part of the whole thing is the segment with Steve, Southside Johnny, and then Steve comes out with his disciples, the Disciples of Soul, who some of them, and they play the Ramones, "It's Christmas, I Don't Want to Fight Tonight."
Yeah, that was really good.
Just fantastic.
That was only the second time I've seen that, because the first time was when you played it. I don't know why you played it, but I remember seeing it. I think it was on your channel. And I'd never heard the song before. And it was really pretty damn good.
I think I actually played it on the podcast several weeks ago, that one clip, because we were talking about it. And I think I clipped it in there and played the entire, and I don't usually play entire songs on the podcast, but I did throw in that entire song. That's how great that song is. And then Southside Johnny comes out and Bon Jovi comes out and they do, what do they do? The name is going to blank me.
Just enough to pay some money, got paid, baby.
money got spent. While sleeping where we had nothing left to do. Under the boardwalk, get up on the roof. And we never cracked it, and we still don't. Came out exploding like a runaway train. I've been up all night talking about things of any age. Ain't it funny how some things don't change?
Thank you.
father is dating Dick Cheney's daughter.
Steve wrote it. Well, just like I Don't Want to Go Home, it's a Steve Van Zandt song. And it's so great. And then they sing one other one. I can't remember. And Bon Jovi's got to hold up his pants for some reason. Oh, yeah.
He pointed that out, and I noticed it, and he just kept doing it.
Right. Once you see it, you can't stop seeing it. He's like got a big belt buckle on, and he's holding it just like that's his rock and roll stance. He doesn't have a guitar, so he's holding his belt buckle. It just looks like he's holding up his pants.
I think he might be a big fan of Michael Jackson.
He wasn't doing the grab, and he wasn't grabbing his crotch. He's just holding his belt buckle. And it just, it looked like he was holding them up. That's what it looked like. That segment is my favorite segment from the whole show. And then I love when they come back out and do I Don't Want to Go Home, of course, too. Nils plays a gorgeous song that I've heard him play before. I think it's his song. Shine Silently, right? Yeah. Silently?
So Shine.
It shines his voice unsilently. Gorgeous. He's got the coolest voice, and that song really shines beautifully.
Just another room, just another town. Same old crazy people hanging around. Still you shine silently.
And he does, I think after that, it may be after that, a version of Because the Night.
He does. That's Nils's song. When I saw Nils, he played Because the Night. Nils, it's his one Bruce cover. And it's his favorite Bruce song. I've heard him say many times, and it's got his great solo in it. And it seems to be when he gets a chance to play a Bruce song, he plays Because of the Night. So yeah, he did Because of the Night after Shine Silently.
Take me now, baby, here as I am. Hold me close, child, and understand. I work all day out in the hot sun. Stay with me now till morning comes.
Boy, there were more guest stars. We had Sam Moore. We had Garland Jeffries, R-O-C-K Rock. R-O-C-K Rock.
All of the kids.
And yeah, there were some guests, and it was at the very end when he called everybody out, and there were just people off the street in Christmas hats, and the one guy from the My Pillow commercial was there. It was
one
just
of them had donated money to the Asbury Park something. Bruce said, "Who gave all that money to the Asbury Park?" Something, the library or something, and a guy walked up. Santa Claus Coming to Town. They played with everybody on stage and a Santa. There was a Santa out on stage. There was a lot of people out on stage by then. That was the last song, I believe. But they also, before he brought everybody out, They played the Elvis Costello song.
Oh yeah,
Peace, Love, and Understanding with all the musicians out there. And boy, I feel like we're missing. There was so much. I feel like we're missing like a major guest star that was out. Bon Jovi came back out without Southside Johnny, and did one of his songs too.
Yeah, well,
I don't know what the name of the song is. It's My Life.
Neither one of us thought to bring the set list with us. So
no,
just going by memory.
Just the clip. I brought the clips, so I got the clips. I don't have the set list in front of me.
I think, did they do Kitties back at some point? Or no?
They did do Kitties back because I made a joke that he should play this more often. Here she comes. Here she comes.
Oh, I know. Didn't he do the first ever None But The Brave on this show?
Right. The rarities, the tracks rarities. None But The Brave. I don't know if it was the first ever, but None But The Brave. You said no, baby, but the brave. No one made me but the brave. Go strong enough to say. Seaside Bar Song.
There was a lot from tracks.
Thundercrack, right?
Yes.
Not done. There's more.
Yeah, there were some really, really odd ones. Oh, I know. The Wish. Well, if Pa's eyes were windows into a world so deadly and true, you couldn't stop me from looking, but you kept me from crawling through. And if it's a funny old world, Mom, where the boy's wishes come true, I got a few left in my pocket, and a special one just for you.
The Wish, right? But what was the first? So Young and In Love. Sure, shut down your wonderful home. You're a shady side of town, you're all alone. Papa's chewing your ear off because you ain't got no cash. Mama's chewing your ear off of that. And you know what's really cool about this show? They played three of them. That was the middle show, the second night. They played three of them. And all three, same exact show. Same set list. Same. Bon Jovi was only there night two. But everything else was the same all three nights. In fact, Steve makes a comment. Hey, you guys were here last night? Sorry, we're doing the same thing. He doesn't make that comment. He doesn't make that comment anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, it was weird because, you know, that was the first time he had just released Essentials and we got None But The Brave on disc three. So that was the first time he did it live. And I remember being a little disappointed because it wasn't with the E Street Band. It wasn't like a real E Street Band, but because he's got this background, these background players. And it was good, but it just, I couldn't wait for him to do it with the E Street Band. He eventually did it and on tour. And also that, that song, What's So Funny About Peace, Love, and Understanding. This was 2003. So he eventually does the Vote for Change tour. And that song shows up every night. So yeah,
that was the first time they played it. And then all of a sudden at the Vote for Change tour, it was every night.
Yeah, there was something about that song he really liked.
Me too. Something about that song I really liked. I thought it was even better on the Vote for Change tour because they had all, you know, Michael Stipe took a verse and Bright Eyes took a verse.
Dixie Chicks. Yeah, it was real
Dixie
good.
Dixie Chicks were not, they were only at the TV show, the one on TV. They had their own. The Vote for Change tour, we'll go over this real quick, was a big tour where all these different bands played their own shows somewhere in the same state. That was the weird thing. While Bruce was in Detroit, Pearl Jam was in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and the Dixie Chicks were in some other city in Michigan and doing their own show. And the tour kind of traveled to the same states, the swing states, in that election year. And it was only when the tour was over, when they converged on Washington, that all the bands came together. The Bruce show was Bruce, REM, and Bright Eyes. And all those other guests were only there in Washington, D.C. for that big TV show on the Sundance Channel.
You can't prove that.
Well, I can. I've got lots and lots of video and audio from those shows. In Detroit, the Dixie Chicks did show up because their show got over early enough or something. They were close by. They were at the Fox Theater in Detroit while Bruce was at Cobo Arena, which is just a mile away. And they made it in time to join Bruce at the end at the Detroit show. I don't have video of that, but there's audio. I know of a video of that, and a guy's supposed to send it to me, but he's very, very busy with real life and doesn't have time for nonsense like Springsteen videos. But he eventually is supposed to get me that Detroit video, and the Dixie Chicks did show up. I was there that night, and they had come from their own show because the tour was like all these bands playing different shows in the same town to all benefit moveon.org. All right. Enough about the Vote for Change tour. There's one other thing I wanted to talk about. Somebody pointed out on the internet this week that all of a sudden, one of the dates for the Philly, there, he's got two Philly Stadium shows that were rescheduled coming up this summer, right? Two of them, I believe. And one of those dates is showing up on Ticketmaster now with the wording internet show on every ticket, and no explanation of what that means.
Well, that can only be good.
I think that could only be good. I think that means, I've been saying for a long time that eventually they're gonna let Nugs do one webcast, Fish webcast every show, all these jam bands webcast as many as Nugs feels is worth investing in, because, you know, Billy String seems to do every show. Some of them are broadcast strictly for free to subscribers of Nug's service. They have a streaming service, and they play some shows, video live streams for their subscribers, and others are pay-per-view. Bruce will be a pay-per-view. You won't have to subscribe. I guarantee you. It's going to be like $40 or $50. But I've been expecting one this whole tour. Eventually, they were going to announce one. And they haven't announced one. Don't start telling people Aaron from the World's Greatest Springsteen Podcast said they announced that Philly will be an internet show. But it does say it on Ticketmaster Internet Show, and I am announcing that I believe the guy who picked March 22nd, Vegas 2 months ago, says Philly is going to be broadcast pro shot live as it happens on the internet. And I hope it's the other night and not the night Dave Henstall has a ticket for, because our viewers paid for his ticket a long time ago. So he would get in the pit and hold up his phone and tape the whole thing. And if it's being broadcast pro shot, there's really no reason for him to hold that phone up at all.
No,
not at all.
I certainly wouldn't watch it. That's for sure. Right. And I'm going to request a refund.
For your donation to Dave's ticket.
Yes.
Oh my God, Dave, I won't let it happen. Sorry, Dave. I won't let it happen. People, there's a disclaimer somewhere that said, if this show doesn't happen, or if Bruce decides to do a Nugs webcast of this very show, no one's getting their money back. You're going to the show. He will report back to us from the internet show, and that will be what my viewers get for their money.
What if before the show, Dave finds out for sure it's going to be webcast? Is he still going to hold his phone up the entire show, or is he just going to say, okay?
I think, because I've been talking to Dave for a long time, I think he might. My recommendation to him will be, dude, enjoy the show and don't worry about your phone. We're going to have this great pro shot. But, you know, there's something, you know, Fish webcasts every show and they sell every audio on Nugs, yet tapers still bring their gear, order a taper ticket, and make their own tapes. Why? Because they're not going to get a superior tape, but it's just embedded in them. They're just not going to have as much fun at the show if they're not taping it. If they're not. So he might. And my guess is he will. But I don't know him that well. And I hope that he enjoys the show. And what I really hope is that this Philly, I didn't double check the date on this, but I'm hoping the one that says internet show is the show that he doesn't have the ticket for. And then because he did a fantastic handheld of that last Philly show. So yeah, I'm hoping that we end up with a pro shot of one and a Dave shot of the other.
Do you have any, and let's hear your predictions have been coming true. So what about tracks too?
I'm just going with that birdie. A birdie came to me and said, springtime is going to be a good time. And I think spring means March, April, right? So that's, if they could get it out, like just in time for the tour to start on March 19th, we could see songs from it. Maybe, I don't know. You know, now I'm dreaming like you, because I know on March 19th in Phoenix, it's going to be No Surrender, Ghosts. You know the set list. That's what I'm expecting to come along, even though it's a year later. Maybe not. Maybe there will be a release. And so I'm going with spring. And hopefully in the spring, I'll be putting up December 8th, 2023. Aaron said spring, and here we are. It's coming out.
Do you want to quickly hear my top five best Springsteen solo piano songs?
Yes, as we talked about last week, they've released a Nugs drop on Spotify of all solo piano songs, and Tom has picked his top five. Were they all from that list, Tom?
I believe just one of them isn't. Okay. So, but I did write the dates down too. I don't know why. All right, so I'll go with number five, Lost in the Flood, which is from 73105. Then we got For You from the 1975 version of For You. Incident on 57th Street. Number two, Paradise, which is not on this release. Paradise from 2005. And number one, as you predicted, Real World, 1990.
You love that Real World. I wanted to know. Oh, I forgot what I wanted to know. There was one of them in there. I wanted to know if you were sure it wasn't Roy, but you said it was on this list. It was on the.
Yeah, these are all Bruce on piano.
Gotcha. All right. Well, did you bring any lyrics to play some Springsteen and Lurtle?
No.
All right. Well, do you have time for a few Springsteen hurdles?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, let's put Tom to the test on Springsteen hurdle. All right, Tom, we'll try out a couple of rounds of Springsteen hurdle on you. You've proven yourself to be a master at this game time and time again. I never have any idea what's coming. Here is round one. Oh, come on.
Oh, man. Yeah, I know it from The Wild, The Innocent.
That is it.
I want to say New York City Serenade, but...
I want to say the same thing. I know you can't see your screen, but you were correct. It is New York City Serenade.
They kind of blend into each other, a couple of those songs. So I'm not, I always kind of mix that with, maybe I mix it up with Incident. I don't know. I'm not sure.
I had no doubt, but I think we heard Incident not long ago and I said New York City Serenade. So maybe I get it confused the other way, but yeah, that strum of the guitar was like obvious to me. There was not anything else it could be. So let us try round two.
Strange about that album, you know, the title of the song really is not said in the song anywhere. So that's why it's a little difficult.
He says, "Play me your serenade" in the original. And you can find bootlegs. Not a lot of them. And not in any of the recent ones, but there are bootlegs where he says, "Play me your New York City serenade," and I will have to find one. And now this episode's probably not going to come out for like an extra week while I try to find that one show where he's saying, "Play me your New York City serenade."
Yeah, Incident on 57th Street, that's not said. Wild Billy's Circus Story is not said. You know, this it's very, very unusual.
Peter Griffin from Family Guy there was a clip on that show where he would get very excited when someone in the movie said the title of the movie. So maybe you think a lot like Peter Griffin. You need that title to be in there to make sense.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to round two. Well, Tom, it looks like whether the internet has completely changed how it works or the hurdle site has blocked the ability to view old games, and you used to be able to look at future games too, just by changing your computer's date. That suddenly isn't working. And New York City Serenade was today's game, and I am not able to bring up another game. I will work on that this week and see if we can get back to being able to play older games, find out if it's a lockout from the site or a setting somewhere on my computer that I can get around this. But I will miss being able to play more than one round of Springsteen Hurdle on an episode. But I believe you're one for one today.
I believe you predicted off the air that I would have gotten them all correct. So we'll just say that I'm a winner.
You did. You won for one. And you got it in one clue, the first note, and you are still undefeated at Springsteen Hurdle. If they keep it up this way, we might have to record for 5 minutes every day to do the new Springsteen Hurdle for next week's show. I think that will bring us to the end of this week's show. Once again, I want to remind you, this is the podcast that told you about Vegas 2 months ago. 2 months ago, I think that there's a chance he could play T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas on March 22nd. World's Greatest Springsteen Podcast. Is there anything you want to add to the show before we say goodnight, Tom?
Just a little message to John Landau. Release Trex 2. We know it's ready. Stop this nonsense.
All right. That brings to the end of another episode 26 of the World's Greatest Springsteen Podcast. I am Fisherman, the bootlegger who pays the highest price. For me and Tom, the World's Greatest Springsteen Podcast loves you.